Welcome, everyone. Once again, we are sitting with Peter Payne, the founder of JList.com, the website that you and I and everyone and their anime-loving mothers all know and love and shop from. Say hello.
Hello, everybody. Love you guys. I love the AAA podcast. You're an awesome group of people, and I love anime.
Oh, thanks, Peter.
You were just telling me about some anime conventions that you went to, and you're over here in the States then, is it? Or are you back in Japan?
Yeah, I'm actually in San Diego right now. We do our summer conventions, and recently we've been doing the Phoenix Comic Con, which is a really outstanding show. Then we do Anime Expo, of course, which is humongous, and San Diego Comic Con, which is far beyond words. It's just amazing. Those are the three shows we do, and we're always trying to sort of figure out how we could do a couple more shows here and there, because anime conventions first of all, they're really fun. I love anime conventions because you get to meet so many people and you get to shake a lot of hands. It's really the only area of anime that's really, really just growing fast, and every anime convention breaks its records every year. Lots of fans just love going to them, so it's a really fun place to be.
I didn't even realize that JList came to conventions in the state. If I had known, I would have been like, all right, got to plan this better.
Yeah, I basically have to like a small but non-zero percent of the mail I answer is people asking me to come to their convention. And I'm always saying, well, I'm really sorry. We just can't do that. Logistically, it's super hard. If it's a convention that's pretty darn big, if it's 70,000 or 50,000, we can certainly try to work it in. But so many of the shows, while they're really cool, are below that threshold, or they're only like a 3-day convention. And then in order for us to make us have a successful convention, we have to drive our trailer full of stock and then go to the convention. Well, we can't do conventions in Chicago and Boston and stuff like that coming from San Diego.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. We used to do Akon, which is a really good show in Dallas, and we did that for 5 or 6 years. And it was kind of a cool road trip, 24-hour drive from San Diego, and we had fun. But then gas got really expensive around before the big crash, and that was kind of just sort of put paid to that. So we'll keep trying to add to the convention, though. There's a few more in sort of within striking distance of San Diego that we can possibly get to.
We can hear you on that one. We just got back. MetroCon, which is a local Florida con in our backyard, was this weekend. And of course, we made a stop out there to see people and be seen or whatever. But it's definitely hard for us also, because we have listeners scattered all over the States and all over the globe. Yeah. And I can sympathize a bit with that. I really wish I could go to more conventions, but I don't have the money or the time.
Maybe I'll do more conventions where I just go without stock. We actually did Anime Weekend Atlanta last year, I guess it was.
Yeah.
And we literally, we carried our stock with us in our suitcases. And people were like, how come you don't have, a huge booth like you always do? Well, we can't physically fit it in our suitcases. And there's no way to get a trailer out all the way to Atlanta from San Diego without paying a couple $1,000s. And then that's the whole profit from the show. So it's a very, very tricky situation to do.
So if someone's looking to find JList at a convention, I know, obviously, everyone knows JList.com, and you have a blog there that you blog on, right? Do you post
the
there before the conventions, after the conventions?
I certainly tell people about the shows. By the way, there's another convention for people in San Diego. I forgot about the that one show that's in March that I can't remember the name of. But anyway, there's another show that's a local show that we do. But anyway, I post it on the blog. I post it in social media. I tell people where we're going to go to. I'm quite active on Twitter and Facebook. My Twitter is at JList, and then my Facebook is facebook.com/JListCom, and I'm always posting, 5 or 6 things there, and some of them will be related to what we're doing as a company, and some will be just pictures of giantesses and all that kind of good stuff.
Peter, does JList have a warehouse located in the United States? I mean, it's...
Yeah, we have a San Diego company that does our sort of staging. So like when we ship over products from Japan, it's a pretty big deal where we have to ship over like 200 boxes and it has to go by container. So obviously we need a storage place to do that. So that's what our San Diego company does. And then they, prepare everything for the different conventions we're going to do.
Okay, I was just curious because it would seem, logistically very expensive if you were to ship over a huge stock just for an anime convention.
And right, and we keep it. And then like people at Phoenix, they're always like, oh, did you bring this? I saw this on the website. Did you bring this? And we're always like, oh, sorry, our container comes. We time our container for Anime Expo, not for this show. So
yeah,
all you get is stuff that's been around for a year. I'm real sorry. So I always have to apologize to them.
Well, I think it'd be pretty exciting, no apology necessary, to meet you at a convention myself.
Oh, we'll do it soon.
But what's the kind of big seller right now at conventions? I'm always curious to see what's the hot item or what's the hot show.
It always depends. I mean, part of the problem is we've got stuff that like in February or March, we'll say, okay, this is what we're going to ship over for conventions, and we'll have organized it for quite a few months. Then a lot of time passes, and then like literally it's up to like 5 or 6 months old by the time that the convention is there. So we have to sort of make some estimated guesses about what will be popular. So hopefully we do a good job, but sometimes it's dodgy. Like right now, people would love to get Danmachi stuff, the dungeon. Is it right to meet girls in a dungeon? Well, there's no products for that yet, and there's certainly no products that have been shipped over by sea container from Japan. So this will be kind of, there'll be people at Anime Expo looking for Hestia figures or something like that, and there won't really be anything yet because it won't have gotten over from Japan.
You know, that's something that I'm curious about, and I hope this isn't a proprietary question to ask, but the World Wide Web is, of course, the World Wide Web, and mm-hmm. I would imagine you get people shopping at JList.com from all across the globe. Is that correct assumption?
Yeah, we have customers from pretty much everywhere. I don't think we've ever had an order from North Korea, but we maybe have. I don't know. Countries that speak English and that are most used to ordering online are the countries that order from us most, obviously the U.S., Canada, the U.K., things like that. But really every country has, a passion for Japan. And that's what I love, because it's like just sit back and say, well, I've got this and I found this cool thing, stick it on the site. And then someone will come and say, wow, I've been looking for this. I can't believe you have this. Wow. So that's just great fun.
Speaking of, I can't believe you have this, just as an aside, the snack subscription this month had caramel corn, the tomato, and those are my favorite. So you absolutely made my month this month without knowing it. But I'm curious, with such a global reach and then this whole, conventions and having to guess what's hot, I'm very curious to discuss with you today kind of what is popular right now and what has been popular in the past. From what you see from anime fans in Japan to what people in the States are ordering and what people maybe in Europe or in Australia or wherever else the case may be, is it the same type of stuff that's usually popular, or do you see certain shows resonating with certain geographical audiences more than the other, and therefore the merchandise doing better in certain regions?
It's tricky. Like, we never know what will be popular, and all we can really do is sort of like when a new series, of course, every 3 months a new series starts, like it's just about to start pretty soon. And it's really, really a challenge to, I've got to follow, at least 6 or 7 of these shows and I recommend a lot to people, and then a lot of users will use my recommendations and they'll go watch that. So I'm definitely, that's quite important. It's a lot of work. Like, it's really nice to be able to say that my job is to watch anime, but it's certainly can be hard, because I got to really hear, what's likely to be popular and what's likely to be interesting to people, and some stuff is really cool, but then it might not have a general appeal to the average person or to a new user or something like that, and then some stuff is really hard to understand and I can't understand it. Like, it's really quite difficult to really be a Type Moon fan to the point of understanding everything about Type Moon. I really have to go and study the Wikipedia to do a post, or I'll get a bunch of stuff wrong and then I'll be embarrassed.
Welcome to our world on that one.
Yeah.
there's always something, no matter how hard you try, that you miss or that you misrepresent, and someone is gracious enough to point it out to
you. Well, like I'm 46 years old, and I'm not really a member of, for example, the Pokemon generation, because I was in Japan running JList selling Pokemon when that hit in like 1998. So it was one of our first big hit products. It's like, we were the only people who had Pikachu plush toys that weren't pirated from Taiwan. And it was like, wow, they actually have some that aren't pirated from Taiwan. And so that was really big for us. So people then, because I post on social media and I'm like, hey, you know, this is cool, and I'm posting pictures, and you know, we're all fans, even though we're all different ages. But then I'll make a mistake, like I'll get this character instead of this character, and everyone will just be like, oh, come on, Jayless, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, come on, I can't know everything.
Are there ever any types of products that you see being really popular? Maybe not with shows, as that changes season to season, but product types. So I feel like figures are fairly universal in people liking them across the globe. But what about, I'm going to pick something at random. What about a body pillow, let's say?
Yeah, there's stuff that comes and goes. I remember I've been doing this a long time. I guess the recession of 2000, and Japan sort of was always in recession, but you know, not really, because it wouldn't feel like a recession to you or me because they have a pretty low unemployment rate. But I know there was a time when they call them shokugan, which is like snack and toy, so it's like a piece of gum or a little thing of candy, and then a real small figure. And those were cool because they were cheap, and it was really something that any fan could buy, even if they didn't have any money because it was, you know, the recession. And that was like, I remember the first Shokugan that we carried, or that we really went all, you know, really big on, was Captain Harlock, and each of them was like 300 yen. And of course, they get much more expensive as time goes on, but for 300 yen, you could get, you know, a Harlock figure, a little Arcadia figure. You know, all the different characters. And that was just really amazing, the sort of innovation, make the thing so cheap that you will, you know, keep buying all the sets keep buying all the figures until you get the full set that you want. That was really big one year. There were several years where every Christmas we would have a different electronic toy. And it was just like, well, what will the electronic toy be this year? One was this little turtle that you push a button on his back and he walks and he sort of does a little dance. And
I remember that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And those were neat because at conventions, you know, you walk by the table and we've got a little, you know, remember the Darumas that would nod yes or no, mm-hmm. when you ask them a question, and you'd say, does this shirt make me look fat? And then he would nod yes or shake his head no or something like that. And that was really cool for one year.
One of the things that I'm curious about is, since you mentioned kind of Japan's economy and how it's been flat or in a recession and whatnot for many years, we've talked about it on the show, the depreciating value of the yen right now, specifically compared to the dollar, but really against a lot of international currencies. Have you noticed any change regarding Westerners' consumption of anime as things become more readily available to purchase to them, or rather cheaper in the eyes of someone purchasing from the West with dollars?
Certainly. I mean, it's really been great to be able to lower our prices, and what a neat thing. We can lower our shipping, lower our prices. It's everything's going really well. One really big benefit for Japan is that there's been a huge spike in tourism and just people, because it's, you know, 30% cheaper to visit Japan right now from Europe or America. And that's just been really great for Japan as a whole, both from the standpoint of, you know, they love foreigners and they love it when foreigners come and ooh and ah about their culture. And then they can also get the economic benefits of having all these people come in and visit Kyoto and places like that. So yeah, it's definitely been really good. But much more optimism in general in Japan.
That's one thing that we've been telling everyone who listens and all of our friends, is that now is the time. If you can get yourself on the plane, that's really the big hurdle. But if you can do that, it is the time to go to Japan, because it is so much cheaper to be over there. I mean, I think about when I was there, and when I got there, we were still in the 80s, the high 80s to the dollar, of yen to the dollar. And then when I left,
we had to work through that as a company. It was, you know, it was really, really hard going through that whole, you know, dip down, you know, basically everything crashed. The yen became a safe haven. That's why, like, all the investors around the world said, well, we don't know when it's going to happen, but we'll buy yen. And that caused the yen to go down to, with 78 was like the lowest.
Yeah.
And that was just really hard for our customers, and we just had to sort of get through it. And yet I knew people would be supportive, and they were definitely, the customers are awesome. And we, you know, put the prices back as soon as we could. That was very, very hard. And then I think when 311 hit, the yen went the same way, where it went down to like another 10 or something like that. And so people were trying to rebuild, and it was difficult because the way the yen was was messing with them.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how currency and whatnot can affect kind of the broader economies, even for something like anime, where you don't think about anime as being, oh, serious business, currency exchanges and things like that. But it's really an interesting part of the industry, from everything from importing and exporting to even a lot of the animators and whatnot. And I know this is a step away from merchandising, but a lot of the animators and animation, we see a lot of that having been outsourced in the past because it was so much cheaper to outsource the animation than to do it in Japan. And of course you have the diehards like Studio Ghibli and whatnot, right, trying to employ Japanese workers.
It's interesting. It'd be nice to see, maybe someone will make a documentary or something, but just to understand anime. And actually, in the post I just recently made, where I sort of talked about the eras of, you know, the Golden Age and the Silver Age, and, you know, what things we've passed through, and then definitely, like, I think it was maybe Fist of the North Star was the first anime that was made in Taiwan instead of Japan, and you could sort of feel like the not very good quality animation in terms of the series, not the movie, but yeah, it was, you know, this sort of process of anime becoming an Asian thing, not a Japanese thing. And I think that's fine. It's really cool that, you know, it's no big deal that anime is made in, you know, Vietnam and Korea and the Philippines. I think all of Toei's animation is made in the Philippines.
Yeah.
So really, Sailor Moon is a Philippine anime, not a Japanese anime, except for the creators and all the people creating it are from Japan. But that's sort of interesting to think about, and it's quite cool. I think it's really fun.
One thing that's interesting kind of about all of this, since we're on this tangent, is I don't know if you saw the article, but I believe it was Hideaki Anno, and he recently had a statement about how he doesn't see anime existing in, what was it, like 10 years, I think. And I
think he said in its current form, he thought anime would, you know, have a quote unquote death and rebirth sometime in the next 20 years.
Yeah, I think to expect anime to completely disappear would be like to expect an entire art form to just vanish from the face of the earth. So I don't want to sound like I'm saying he said that, but I thought it was a very interesting kind of statement, and I'm wondering what you, Peter, kind of see as the future of animation and where you see anime headed in Japan in the next 5, 10, 20 years.
It's interesting. The only constant is change. So that is certainly, you know, things will change, and you really can't, it's really funny because you can't believe that they'll change, and you go, like, you know, and then they do. I remember back in the height of the blog era going, wow, we're, you know, blogs are really cool, and everyone had a blog, and you know, tech blogs were like the most cool way to possibly get information. And I was kind of like, well, I wonder what will replace blogs. Certainly something will replace blogs, but I wonder what it'll be. And I couldn't think of anything. And of course, social media replaced blogs. You know, blogs that are like huge corporate things, of course, sort of ate the very small, you know, like blogs aren't nearly as democratized as they were. But yeah, I mean, Facebook, of course, is the post, we're definitely in the post-blog era. So it's interesting to know, like, how things will change. One of the big developments, and one of the things I sort of talk about when I think of something to write on the blog and in the JList emails, basically, like, the new wave of anime that is done with the CG process. Knights of Sidonia is one of the animes that are made with this computer process. So it's basically, instead of just having mecha and backgrounds animated with computer graphics, it is, you know, really everything. So you've got all the characters are moving in this sort of not quite natural way. And it is annoying at first, depending on how charitable you are to the property itself. It's a really great show, by the way. If you haven't watched it, you should see Knights of Sidonia.
Oh, we're big fans of Knights really, of Sidonia, such a good on the show.
But anyway, yeah, so maybe what Hideaki was saying is that will take over. I don't know. Certainly, if everything was computer done and nothing was done by animators, that would be a death and rebirth of anime. I certainly hope they don't do that. That's very, very annoying, and they shouldn't do that. What is the name of the anime that Miyazaki's son Goro made? There was like a fantasy anime, and it was all done with CG. And my reaction was just violently against it. It was like, oh God, get this away from me. It's Goro once again, you know, sort of
Goro going where he shouldn't go.
And Ghibli, we don't want this. Come on, dude. But it was all CG and it was just very, very inorganic. It didn't have any, of course, why do you watch, you know, Ghibli anime? Because it feels like a very natural thing. You're experiencing this really beautiful organic thing in all of his stories. And then to see this sort of computer graphic bears or whatever it was walking around, it was just like, ugh.
People that listen to our podcast, even for Knights of Cydonia, which I think is such a great series, it's very entertaining, you know, there's always a portion of people that very vehemently push back against anything that's...
It's definitely polarizing.
Yeah.
Right. And when you think about it, like, as I've blogged about before, the history of animation is the history of technology because... What did Walt Disney do? He came in with all these innovations, like backgrounds that moved at different rates of speed from closer backgrounds. So you had this 3D effect of Snow White running, and the trees that were farther away moved more slowly than the trees that were close, and that was really cool. And I imagine somebody said, "Hey, what are you doing with this new animation form? Get it out of here." They probably were people who complained about color animation for I don't know. But, it's certainly fine for animation to change. It just needs to know what we want. And what we want is what we've got right now, and they shouldn't change it. So, I don't know.
How much do you see, as far as studios deciding what people want, how much do you see merchandising playing a role in that? Because our assumption, I think, that we've made on this show, our educated guess, is that oftentimes studios will pick certain shows over others to create because of... making money off of merchandising.
Or certain subject matter, you know, if you know what I mean.
So yeah. in your kind of opinion, being in this space, how much does merchandising or the opportunity to make money off of merchandising, how much does that affect what shows are greenlit?
It's weird because some shows will... One of the mysteries is some shows will get no merchandise at all, even though they're very popular, and some shows will get merchandise for 10 years. And I don't really understand why that is. One of the main issues, I guess, is that a lot of anime, if you look at the end, you'll see, like in the end of every credit, they'll say like copyright. For example, Madoka Magica is Madoka Quartet. And the quartet is four different companies that all pool their resources to make Madoka. And then they market it, and they market figures, and they market anime and whatever. And one of the companies is, of course, Nitro Plus. One of the companies is, I think, Aniplex. And then there is often the shops that will sell the figures. So a lot of times, you know, Animate will be one of the companies, and then you'll know Animate will be definitely on board to have lots of products about this thing because they're getting a royalty or something like that, and they're also going to be involved in making the figures. And then some shows like Toradora, one of the great anime ever. It is just such a great series, and I think there was like one or two figures ever made. And it was just the most bizarre thing ever. How could they not make really, really outstanding, you know, merchandise for Toradora? And then other shows like Please Teacher, for some reason, that literally got, I think, probably 100 figures and you know, quarter scale, gigantic figures. Of course, a lot of cast off, a lot of nude figures. And I just, you know, that was a really good show. But why should Please Teacher get so many figures and then, other shows not get any figures? And when Anonatsu came along, and it was basically the third chapter of the Please Teacher, Please Twin series, really, really outstanding show. And I was very hopeful that two things would happen. First of all, that it would, you know, they would make lots and lots of figures because that's what they did for Please Teacher. And also that they would, in Please Teacher and in Please Twins, they sort of promote a certain snack, Pocky and Pretz. And have the characters eating it all the time. And then for me as an anime retailer, I'm like, hey, cool, I can sell a bunch of Pocky and Pretz now because people want to buy this thing that the characters are eating. And they didn't have any snack in their own anime like they should have. And it was kind of very frustrating. I wish I could sit down with the director and say, why didn't you do these obvious things that you knew you should have done because you did them twice before? Ikitosen was another one that literally just broke all records in number of figures made, number of figures sold. And yes, the figures are sexy and we all like sexy figures or the majority of anime fans buying figures buy sexy figures. But I think it's also about there's a lot of support by anime retailers who are actually signed into the property and they promise to put in marketing dollars and they promise to sell the figures when they're made. So it's something weird that beyond us, it's very you know, based in, you know, the business. Basically, if one company made an anime, all the other companies might be in a competitive environment where they want you to watch this anime instead of this anime, so they try to tear this anime down. But if they're all, you know, working together because they've actually created a new entity called, you know, Madoka or Madoka Partners or whatever, where they actually got a company that is the rights holder and they've all sort of given their rights over to this company, that sort of helps them make sure that everyone is being cooperative, I think. Something like that. It's some Japanese thing anyway.
So I would be remiss if I didn't make sure I asked at some point, what is hot right now in Japan? I mean, I try to keep up with life in Japan, but being back in the States, it's hard sometimes. And what's going on in the land of the rising sun that the people on this side of the pond would really want to know about?
One thing on the J-List site is we've got a way to sort categories based on actual sales and also based on wish list, which is, you know, how often things are added to people's wish lists. So it's kind of neat. You can always just see what things are popular there.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, I like doing that. So, yeah, I mean, Danmachi is really big. High School D&D is really big. Whatever we're in the middle of releasing is always really popular on the site for 1 or 2 months. We just released Starless, which has been really big because there's a lot of Sei Shoujo fans out there. That's the creator of Bible Black. Definitely there's certain things on J-List that, like, we have a lot more Totoro and Ghibli fans because we're Totoro and Ghibli fans. We've always gone out of our way to make sure we have any possibly good product that exists. We stick it on the site. So I'm sure we have more Totoro fans per capita than other sites. You never know when a snack will take off. Tentacle Grape is, of course, has just returned from the dead. They just reissued the new bottles, and we just got them in stock, so that's really popular right now.
So speaking of what's airing now, we know you're incredibly busy, but are you keeping up with any anime this season? I take it you're at least watching Knights of Sidonia second season.
Knights of Sidonia. I'm watching the new Haruhi show because I'm a big Haruhi fan. I'm watching Danmachi, but I'm behind. Yeah, I mean, it's what happens a lot of times is I'll start out strong and I'll watch like 8 different shows, and then once I write about them, I'll be like, okay, now I'm gonna finish it, but I'll finish it later, and then I'll watch other shows, and then the next series comes up, and it sort of kills me. I have the best of intentions, but it's really hard to keep up with every single show.
Yeah. Do you have any products on JList.com that you're particularly excited about right now? Anything new that you're like, this is so cool?
Mainly, one of the big things we've been working on is JList itself. We've got a really, really huge update coming. It'll be released sometime after we get the conventions out of the way. Basically, it's a new website. Our site is really good, but it's not the best site in terms of like mobile browsing. And mobile browsing is, of course, taking over the entire web. I'm sure one day we'll look back at you know, PCs and Macs and browsers on PCs and Macs in a very quaint way. And so anyway, we've got a new site coming. It'll be basically a complete reboot of everything. All of our backend is going to be rebooted, so it'll be really huge. And definitely, it'll be if you surf on a phone or a tablet or whatever, it'll be much, much better. And it'll be better no matter what device you're on. So that's the main thing we've been working on. And also trying to get all the games out because we've got a big backlog of games, Japanese dating sim games. So we did ship Starless, which is really good. And we're going to ship Raidy 3 before the conventions, and that'll be really good. And then the next up, we've got Shiny Days coming, which we'll get out right in the middle of summer. So that'll be really nice also.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us and for letting us know kind of your insights and on yesterday and today in anime and merchandise, as you always do. One more time, will you let everyone listening know where they can find you?
Okay, well, our website is jlist.com, all one word, and that's our everything, including NSFW stuff. So don't look at that if you don't want to see adult products or if you're at work. And then our PG site is jbox.com, jbox.com. You can see my blog, which is where I archive the posts that I've made since 1998, which is quite a lot of posts. But that is at blog.jlist.com. And then you can follow me on Twitter at JList or see us on Facebook at facebook.com/JListCom. And I think we're on Instagram, but I don't know yet because it's my staff doing it and he hasn't told me what he's doing, but he's posting something. Anyway, we're on Instagram also. I think JListCom is our Instagram. So anyway, yes, please stalk us on social media, all that good stuff. If you're coming to the conventions, Anime Expo or San Diego Comic-Con, certainly come by and shake our hands. Actually, I forgot to mention we've got a free gift for everybody at the conventions this year. Everyone who comes by, it's a secret, but I can't tell you. I'll post it on the site the week before the website, before the conventions.
I just followed you on Instagram. I am okay. Excited for your photos.
This is my staff doing it. He's got all these crazy ideas about what he wants to post. So I'm like, okay, dude, whatever. We'll have fun.
Whatever. Your name is only attached to it. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.